Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As we said before, it's 35 years to the day of Live Aid. London and two cities in our country. And at JFK and in Philly. So we'll play Live Aid bumper music throughout the afternoon. Aaron Blake from the Washington Post joins us. Aaron is on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Aaron, always a pleasure. Your story in the Post today, Washington Post today, Roger Stone and Trump's extraordinary record of clemency. I think a lot of times people look at many presidents and say, what's going on with clemency? What is going on with pardons? And many stand out, and to neutral observers, you're left shaking your head. What is unique about this decision by President Trump with Roger Stone?
Well, I think it's actually pretty simple in this case. What's unusual about this, and I should note that the president has a history of offering an extraordinary amount of his pardons and commutations to political allies. But in this case, what we have is a situation where it's not just a political ally. It's not just somebody who the president has been taking political advice from for decades, in fact, but it's actually somebody whose crimes stemmed from the fact that he was essentially testifying about things that involved the president himself. So yep. I think it's one thing to pardon an ally. It's one thing to commute the sentence of an ally. It's another thing to commute or pardon crimes that actually have to do with your own legal jeopardy or past legal jeopardy. And I think that's why this case is different even than the pardons and commutations that we've seen before from this president.
Okay, for people who forget, remind people the charges that Stone was found guilty of, just to point out the significance of this case.
Sure. So Roger Stone was convicted on all seven counts that he faced. Five of those counts had to do with lying to investigators and lying to Congress. And those instances dealt with the Russia investigation. Specifically, they dealt with what Roger Stone said about his interactions with an intermediary with WikiLeaks, which was, of course, the they published the information that Russia had hacked in the 2016 election. And at given points during the 2016 election, Roger Stone had said in his public and private commentary that he had some kind of information about what that information was, when that information might be coming. So the question was always, whether this very close advisor to the president, who wasn't necessarily on his campaign but was very close to the president, had some kind of inside knowledge or may have been in some ways conspiring with the Russians. Of course, the ultimate verdict in the Russian investigation that there was no conspiracy, means that that wasn't proven. But it doesn't change the fact that what Roger Stone lied about and was convicted of lying about on five separate counts had to do with that larger question about whether there was some kind of conspiracy. And that, thus his lies could very easily be construed as not just trying to protect himself, but potentially protecting the president himself.
Well, another story, and I'm sure you saw it, Peter Baker from the New York Times, the headline that they chose, in commuting Roger Stone's sentence, Trump goes where Nixon wouldn't. That's true, right?
Yeah, I mean, when it you know, there are some historic parallels that people are talking about. One is certainly the Nixon situation. Of course, he wound up getting pardoned himself by Gerald Ford in what was, obviously a problematic situation. There's also the pardons under George H.W. Bush of six officials who were involved in the Iran-Contra affair. There was a question back then about whether this was effectively part of a cover-up, which was what an independent counsel found, or at least concluded about the situation. So, you know, we've had similar situations before. I think this is certainly different in certain respects, but ultimately it does come back to that idea that, at least on the outside, it looks like a president offering a break for somebody who, unlike many others who cut deals with prosecutors, was not willing to flip on the president and actually provide information about precisely what happened.
Aaron Blake is with us from the Washington Post on the president's decision to commute the sentence of Roger Stone. Roger Stone has been around Aaron for decades and decades and decades. He basically worships Richard Nixon. He's been involved in other Republican administrations and campaigns. He takes credit for bringing down Elliot Spitzer. He basically takes credit for going as dirty as he can be. He tried to get Trump run a number of times. As you said, played some role. How do you try to sum up what Roger Stone has been about the last 30, 40 years in politics?
Well, I think you summarized it very nicely there. This is a guy who, on the top of his back, actually has a tattoo of Richard Nixon.
Yep.
Anybody who's interested in what Roger Stone is about, I can't recommend more than the Netflix documentary called "Get Me Roger Stone" from 2017, which is a fascinating look at the man. He was somebody who was a really big deal in American politics back in the Nixon days and in the years that followed that. In more recent years, he's been something of a gadfly, somebody that official Republican Party officials haven't necessarily aligned themselves with. But as with many people that we've seen on the Trump campaign, he found himself kind of cast into this national spotlight because many of those more establishment figures weren't willing to work for the president at that point. And so you're right. There's one thing of, you know, looking at the specific charges and of what Roger Stone said and what he lied about. There's the other part of, you know, this guy is a self-proclaimed, very proud, dirty trickster. And that's what he calls himself. This is a guy who, you know, a lot of people don't want to touch. The attorney general counseled against this commutation. William Barr said that to the president. So there's not.
Can we just stop there for a second? Because I was going to go there. I want for the folks who are listening right now who believe the president when he says this is unfair. Kayleigh McEnany's giving a press briefing right now and is talking about the reason why the president did this and how unfair it was to Stone compared to McCabe and others. Tell people what the attorney general, Bill Barr, he said this was a righteous decision, correct?
Right. This was an interview actually just a couple days before the president commuted the sentence. He talked to ABC News, Attorney General Barr did, and said this was a righteous prosecution, that Roger Stone deserved his jail time. I think that's an important comment for a couple reasons. One of them is because, you know, we remember back in February, William Barr was actually the one who intervened in this case to try and get Roger Stone a lesser sentence, which at the time was an extraordinary move for an attorney general on behalf of a president's ally. So the idea that William Barr would be the one who would be throwing up a stop sign for the president to do this, I think reinforces just how much the people around the president recognize that, at the very least, this is a bad look for a president to be pardoning somebody like this.
Robert Mueller serves as a special counsel for the Justice Department for multiple years. The former head of the FBI, he's the one who conducted the investigation into the president and Russia, what happened, what didn't happen, what he found. He did clearly find that that Russia was reaching out to the president's team, that Russia wanted Trump to win, and that there were 10 examples that he cited of obstruction of justice in his special counsel finding, but cited again the Justice Department policy that you cannot indict a sitting president. He writes an op-ed in your paper, The Post. What stood out most to you when Mueller, after the president's decision on Stone, wanted to remind people about why Stone was a convicted felon?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway from that is that Robert Mueller decided to write that column in the first place. Back when William Barr was offering misleading summaries of the Mueller report, Mueller did object, but he did so privately in a letter to Barr that only came out later. When he testified, he wasn't necessarily looking to settle scores with people like Barr or step outside of his lane when it came to his job as a prosecutor. This is a very by-the-book guy in Robert Mueller, which I think in a lot of ways wound up alienating people who thought that he would be the guy to take down the president. So the idea that this was the moment in which he sought to speak out publicly in a way that he hasn't before, and did so of his own volition, I think speaks to the reservations about what this commutation means and what it could potentially mean, not just for the Russia investigation, but also moving forward when it comes to these kinds of decisions that are made by presidents.
Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, after Robert Mueller wrote this op-ed in your paper, said, well, if Robert Mueller is going to talk this way, I'm going to ask him to appear in front of our committee. Do you think there's any way that happens?
I think it's possible. You know, Robert Mueller has testified before about the Russia investigation. So, you know, and he did so very cautiously, I would add. So I'm not sure what we would necessarily learn from that testimony. You know, the Lindsey Graham quote strikes me as kind of, you know, trying to get back at the guy who stepped out of his lane a little bit and maybe try and apply a little bit of pressure on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not, you know, given his past testimony, you know, Trump and his allies may not be terribly concerned about what Robert Mueller would say. But anytime somebody takes the stand and begins testifying, you never know kind of what's going to come of that.
Last thing, Stone's going on with Sean Hannity tonight. We both know that'll be an unrelenting grilling. This'll just be a love fest for the president. But Roger Stone has loved the back and forth of media over the years, and has appeared in some contentious, some testy interviews. Doesn't hide normally. What do you think now? This is a tip of the cap to Hannity and Trump. This is a thank you, Mr. President. But will he go back to normal? And if people want him to talk, that we're going to see multiple Roger Stone interviews? Because my gut tells me we are going to.
Yeah, I would not be surprised. And you're right that Fox News, opinion hosts like Hannity had been pushing for this both publicly and privately.
Yeah.
Roger Stone has never been a shrinking violet. He even spoke out during his case, which earned him a rebuke from the judge. So he's going to keep talking. And I do think that may be part of the reason why these people around the president counseled against this, because suddenly you have a guy who has shown himself to be willing to say much of anything about anything. And suddenly he's kind of unleashed, he's untethered, and he can say whatever he wants to, and that leads to all kinds of unpredictable consequences for a president who's facing re-election in just a few months here.
Aaron, thank you so much. Always appreciate it. Have you been able to get back here at all during this craziness?
It's been a very long time. I was looking to get back in April, and then the plague struck. So hopefully at some point there I'll make it back.
Fantastic. Thanks for coming on, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.